News number 7.
At 15 hours Universal Time, here is the news on the Voice of America. I'm Frank Whitus in Washington. Both the Israeli and Palestinian leaders have now expressed willingness to meet in London with British and U.S. officials following invitations by British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who is visiting Israel and Gaza. VOA correspondent Al Pessin reports.
Palestinian and British officials say the Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat told Mr. Blair in Gaza Monday he's willing to go to a London summit with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Mr. Netanyahu expressed his willingness to attend after meeting with Mr. Blair on Sunday. But at the same time, officials on both sides are downplaying the potential outcome of a London summit. Palestinian officials say no such meeting is worthwhile unless Israel is prepared to make concessions it has so far staunchly refused to make. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reassured his cabinet Monday that he has not promised to deliver anything new. The main dispute is over how much more West Bank land Israel will hand over to the Palestinians at this stage and under what conditions. Mr. Blair is trying to raise the European profile in Middle East peacemaking, but he says the United States will remain the chief mediator. Al Pessin, VOA News, Jerusalem.
Earlier, Prime Minister Blair had said a meeting in London would not replace U.S. peace efforts in the Middle East. He described American proposals to break the stalemate as a proper basis for discussion. However, Mr. Blair believes Britain can help.
Where I believe that we can play a role is obviously to try and help in resolving the issues that are outstanding. And clearly, the economic issues and the rest of the interim issues are an important part of the process. So anything we can do constructively, we will.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Iraq's foreign minister is heading to New York to contest a UN arms inspection report about the status of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Mohammed Saeed al-Sahaf is to address the UN Security Council before it meets to review sanctions against Iraq. The UN report says there has been virtually no progress in the last 6 months to verify Iraq has destroyed its banned weapons. Mr. Sahaf calls the report groundless. Meanwhile, Iraq's ruling Ba'ath Party newspaper has accused the United States of trying to create a new crisis between Iraq and UN weapons inspectors. A Russian spokesman says there is no truth to reports that President Boris Yeltsin may be considering giving the disputed Kuril Islands back to Japan. A Kremlin spokesman has dismissed such reports as groundless, but he says Mr. Yeltsin rated his weekend summit in Japan with Prime Minister Ryotaro Hashimoto very highly. Japanese newspapers say Mr. Hashimoto proposed redrawing the boundary north of the islands. Russian Prime Minister-designate Sergei Kiryenko has reassured a visiting U.S. diplomat that the current political crisis in Russia will not hamper free market reforms now underway. VOA Moscow correspondent Michelle Kellerman reports.
Sergei Kiryenko is still trying to persuade a reluctant parliament to confirm him, but he played down the political crisis in talks Monday with U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Strobe Talbot. Mr. Kiryenko said the change in government will not affect the course of reforms or Russia's relations with the United States. The two men spoke about plans for a meeting between Presidents Boris Yeltsin and Bill Clinton next month on the sidelines of the Summit of Leading Industrialized Nations in Birmingham, England. Mr. Kiryenko, meanwhile, is expressing optimism he will be confirmed Friday. Lawmakers have rejected the 35-year-old technocrat twice, but if they vote no again this week, President Yeltsin, by law, must dissolve parliament and call new elections. Michelle Kellerman, VOA News, Moscow.
A standoff between the United Nations and the Taliban is threatening humanitarian aid programs helping hundreds of thousands of people in Afghanistan. The VOA correspondent in Islamabad says the United Nations canceled talks designed to improve relations after the Taliban refused to meet its top coordinator for aid programs in Afghanistan. The Taliban says the UN official is biased against it. Freed Chinese dissident Wang Dan has thanked his friends and the United States for helping to win his release. Mr. Wang said he hopes other democracy activists imprisoned in China will soon be released. His statement was issued from the Detroit hospital where he was admitted Sunday for tests and treatment. Wang Dan's freedom comes 2 months before a planned visit to China by President Clinton. A friend, Shen Tong, says the release is probably a political move.
Obviously, we know what politically this means. I mean, this is just a human rights hostage situation, as we come to call it, and is directly linked to the scheduled visit by President Clinton in China.
U.S. National Security Advisor Samuel Berger says China still has a long way to go to abide by universal human rights principles. Governments and human rights groups have welcomed Sunday's release of the former Chinese student leader Wang Dan from a Chinese prison, but there are also some words of caution. Mr. Wang was a key leader of the 1989 protest in Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Another leader of those protests, Weir Kaixi, says he worries that Mr. Wang's release will merely open a new chapter of suffering for him. A group of dissidents in China's eastern Zhejiang province welcomed the release of Wang Dan, but called for other political prisoners to be freed. This is VOA News. Hopes for a competitive presidential election in Nigeria have died, with the fifth of five official political parties choosing military ruler Sani Abacha as its candidate. The decision by the grassroots democratic movement came early today. The election is scheduled for August 1st. Although General Abacha has not yet said whether he will be a candidate, a vast campaign is underway on his behalf. He has ruled Nigeria since seizing power in a 1993 coup. A Somali faction leader says 10 Red Cross workers being held hostage will be released later today. As VOA East Africa correspondent Scott Stearns reports, there has been no official confirmation of their impending release.
A spokesman for faction leader Hussein Aidid says the hostages will be released 6 days after they were kidnapped in North Mogadishu by rival militiamen. Those held include a Somali Red Cross worker, an American, a Norwegian, a German, two Swiss nationals, a Belgian, a Frenchman, and two pilots, one Kenyan, the other South African. Mr. Aidid's spokesman says a plane has already been sent to Mogadishu to fly the hostages to Nairobi. Red Cross officials say they're unable to confirm the announcement. There have been intense negotiations for the hostage release at the home of North Mogadishu faction leader Ali Mahdi Mohamed. Scott Stearns, VOA News, East Africa Bureau.
Indian Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee has fired a cabinet member accused of corruption to defuse a political crisis threatening his coalition government. An advisor to the Prime Minister says Communication Minister Bhutta Singh was fired after he refused to step down. A key ally of the coalition government, Jalalitha, had demanded the removal of Mr. Singh and two other ministers. The Prime Minister's advisor said other two ministers will not be dropped because they face no formal charges. Officials in Indian Kashmir say the death toll from a weekend raid of a remote mountain village has risen to 22, nine more than in previous reports. Kashmir's chief minister says an unspecified number of people are also missing. The minister accused neighboring Pakistan of carrying out the attack, but gave no evidence to support the charge. No one has claimed responsibility for the raid. North Korea has lashed out at the leadership of South Korea after aid talks collapsed in Beijing Saturday. Pyongyang's official newspaper said Monday that the new government in Seoul was no better than the last. The newspaper accused the government of Kim Dae-jung of continuing treacherous separatist confrontation and war moves like those of previous administrations. It was the strongest rhetoric heard from Pyongyang since it proposed high-level talks in Beijing to discuss fertilizer aid to the famine-struck North. Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams has told party members to remain open to the Northern Ireland peace accord as a step toward their ultimate goal of a united Ireland. Mr. Adams said he wants a full debate on the accord before Sinn Féin votes in a few weeks on whether to endorse it. And President Clinton is back in Washington from a four-day trip to Chile, where he and 33 other Western Hemisphere leaders pledged to create the world's largest free trade zone by 2005. The promise came in a statement released in Santiago at the end of a two-day summit of the Americas. These are the hour's news headlines. British Prime Minister Tony Blair meets Palestinian President Yasser Arafat to discuss a possible Israeli-Palestinian summit in London. Iraq's foreign minister says he will contest what he calls a groundless UN report on weapons inspections. And Russia says there is no truth to reports that it may be considering giving the disputed Kuril Islands back to Japan. That's the news on The Voice of America. I'm Frank Whitis in Washington.
Tell me,